So Proverbs chapter 17, and like I said earlier, it's also on the front of our bulletin. We're going to look at verse number 6 specifically today. So Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6, which reads, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." And the title of my sermon today is Staying on That Dad Pedestal. Staying on that dad pedestal. And I'd like to also go to the Lord in a word of prayer as well. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for some of the great truths in the Bible, including this truth here that I want to preach today. Please fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach boldly, clearly, loudly. Help those in the room here to be edified in the many different points that I want to get across today, but especially the dads here today to want to grow as a father, to also want to be the father that you want them to be. And I just pray that you help me to preach all these things in your holy name. Amen. I had an amazing class when I first went to school. So I first kind of joined at school at, I think, about 4 years old, 3 or 4 years old. My classmates' fathers were a collection of the toughest, bravest, strongest, fastest, richest, cleverest men in the whole wide world, it seemed, yeah? And there were some really, if I could remember some of those conversations about their dads, it was pretty impressive stuff. And it was a strange occurrence, because as I got older, and the classes got bigger, and the schools got bigger, the super dads seemed to drastically decrease, which is a bit of a strange thing. It didn't really fit. Now, the same dad seemed to transform from this sort of permanent Superman to a permanent Clark Kent. And they just suddenly seemed to be out of nowhere. Over the years, they just became no longer this great guy in the eyes of their sons, especially. I went to a boys' school in secondary school as well, but also in their daughters as well. You know, by the time that kid had reached sort of teens, especially late teens, the dad had often become really more of an arch villain than the Superman in their eyes. And it's a sad occurrence. It's a sad truth that you see around the world. Well, what had happened? What happened to these dads? Truthfully, physically, probably very little in what was, you know, around a dozen years or something like that. The change was to his pedestal. The change was to the pedestal that he was on. And that pedestal had either got shortened, it had got attacked, it had got smashed, it had got unscrewed, it had just got dismantled any which way possible by a variety of people. Because we do live in a world where the dad pedestal is getting lowered, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lowered, destroyed, crashed, crushed, you name it. And it seems to be by almost everyone around, doesn't it? It's not that just one guy comes in and destroys the pedestal. It seems that everyone is flocking around that pedestal to destroy it. They're all surrounding it, trying any which way they can to get rid of that pedestal, to get that dad off that pedestal. Well, you've literally got teams of workmen theorizing about how to get dad off his pedestal, how to get rid of that pedestal, how to destroy that pedestal. The mockery of the stupid father figure in popular cartoons we've seen for many years, The Simpsons, you know, with the moronic Homer Simpson, Family Guy with whatever that idiot's name is in it, Flanders, especially for the Christian dad. You got kids books like Peppa Pig, where dad's just a moron. Yeah, dad's just an idiot. Dad seems to be the butt of everyone's jokes, it seems, in the world, doesn't it? And how often is just a normal run-of-the-mill dad lifted up and kept on his pedestal, even put on the pedestal in the first place? As well, we see the mockery of male masculinity, don't we? Yeah, absolute mockery. Like, male masculinity is something to be ashamed of, to be embarrassed of, while at the same time promoting female masculinity.
Yes.
Yeah, while at the same time trying to promote female masculinity. That's a good thing, but male masculinity is a bad thing. And we see that, don't we? You're being paranoid, brother Ian. No, I'm just being true, yeah? That's what we see out there. That's what I see out there. You see the red carpet almost rolled out if a wife wants to leave her husband. Yeah, everything set up for her, encouraged any which way she can. That's if she's even married nowadays. But we see the red carpet rolled out for that. Adverts up, I've been seeing recently, to tell you what the latest thing is actually abuse now. Have you seen these around now? If he controls your finances, apparently that's abuse. If your husband is the guy that earns the money, apparently that's abuse now. Yeah, and now you're being told what is abuse. And look, any which way they can, they're attacking that dad pedestal, aren't they? You've then got, and look, when I say they, and if you're sitting there thinking, what do you mean they, Brother Ian? It's not some big conspiracy. It's the devil's world. Yeah, it's the devil's world, and he is the God small g of this world. So whether or not you want to believe that there are people meeting in the shadows or not, well, the devils meet in the shadows, yeah? And the Bible's pretty clear about that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And look, one of the things that those spiritual wickedness in high places powers attack is the dad pedestal. Yeah. Now, you've then also got, through that, you've got the governments undermining dad through the schools, yeah? Constantly, through different government departments. You've got the NHS, you've got just medicine, it's where, I know, if any of you dads here were there when your children were born, in general, you were just a complete pain, weren't you? Just even being there, just an irritation, a sort of, excuse me, you know, oh, well, you can sit there, you can come in for an hour to visit them, you know, it's that sort of attitude, isn't it? You know, you're just a hindrance, aren't you? And then, if that wasn't enough, you've then got the family members. The family members and the friends, again, trying to knock dad off his pedestal, yeah? Sometimes it's blatant, isn't it? Absolutely blatant. Sometimes it's in front of you. And then, sadly, you even have the wives doing it. And not even just the ex-wives. Unfortunately, in many families, you see around this country, you see around this world, you'll see wives trying to destroy that pedestal for whatever reasons that they do it. Maybe it's just because they've been as brainwashed as everyone else in this world. But this is what goes on around the world. And look, that makes it hard, doesn't it? That makes it hard for dad to stay on his pedestal. Keep a finger there and turn to Exodus chapter 20. If you're still up on that pedestal, dads, it's wobbling. It's slippery up there. It's got a demolition team queuing up to finish it off, yeah? They're there with their hammers, their crowbars, they're just all in a line, you know, good impact drivers, all sorts of things like that, especially that little one. That is an impressive impact driver. But there's all sorts out there, and they're just waiting to try and take you down. Well, but isn't it a good thing? Yeah, you're only human after all. You know, you don't want to be on a pedestal, do you? Well, isn't it best to just be treated equal, dads? Yeah? Well, no. No, the fifth of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 says, honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. See that? Honour thy father and thy mother. That means give them respect, glory, esteem. Why? So that they feel good about themselves? Is that why? So that they get puffed up? No, so that your days may be long upon the land. It's for the child's own good. It's for them to get more years in what is a very short life, isn't it? And the older you get, the shorter it feels. Well, that means, if you think about it that way, that the TVs, you know, the shows, the movies, the books, the government agencies, the schools, the bitter wives even, are shortening your days. Kids, shortening your days, anyone really who's a son and daughter here, which is everyone, yeah? They're shortening your days. Now, how does that work? You ever wondered that? Is there like a year knocked off every time that you say something rude about your parents? Is that how it works? Well, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. I don't know how that part works, but what I do know is that if saved children followed this commandment, and their parents taught the other commandments, then they taught their children to follow this and the other commandments and so on, you would have generations of saved families avoiding many of the pitfalls of life that shorten days. I know that if you look at it from that angle, Because when that commandment was given, that was to what should have been God's nation, who should have continued to follow God's laws. And if they'd honoured their father and mother who were giving them those laws, then they probably would have not died all the many early deaths and ways that people die early. Well, Proverbs 4 and verse 1 says, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." So honouring a godly father, hearing his instruction, his doctrine, his law, keeping his commandments will add years to your life. That will add years to your life. That will stop you dying early for many reasons that you could probably work out. Well, go back to Proverbs 17:6. It's for a child's own good, yeah? That means you've got to protect that pedestal. Mums, dads, kids even, family, friends. If you're sitting here going, well, I'm not a father, well, I'm not, you know, whatever situation in my life, you've got to protect that pedestal of those that you care about, those you love. And I hope that includes everyone in this church as well. We need to protect that pedestal. We need to keep that father being honoured. Yeah, father and mother. But today we're focusing on fathers. We'll focus on mothers another day. Proverbs 17:6 says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." Now, there's another way that this verse can be looked at. Not only do children often see their fathers with rose-tinted glasses, yeah, and that's a truth there we see around the world, especially from a young age. But children are also known by their fathers, aren't they, as well? Whilst young, they go by the name of their father. The males will continue to go by the name of their fathers, and they are known by who their father is, aren't they? Yeah, there's something that's passed on there. People know you by your father. And whichever way you look at it, it means that us dads don't want to be helping destroy our own pedestal, do we? Yeah? We don't want to be helping destroy our own pedestal, kind of kneeling on it whilst trying to unscrew it or do whatever else. Doesn't sound so fun, and that fall's going to be hard as well, isn't it? Because you're on it at the same time. You don't want to come crashing down. We have to stay up there for our kids' own good, and we also have to stay up there for our own good as well. Look at the beginning of this verse. Proverbs 76 says, "Children's children are the crown of old men." Grandkids are the crown of old men, basically. Yeah. Like a trophy in a way. Yeah? I remember when I first moved into my current house, and I think the kids called me and said, "The guy out over the fence wants to talk to you." So I went out, and there's this big old fella, old Ken, and went out, and within about 5 seconds of introducing myself and saying hi to him, he was telling me all about his grandkids. But he was telling me all about what school they go to. He was telling me all about how clever they are, how they go to a grammar school, and how they're, you know, how good his son is, his grandson is at football and everything else. And it was pretty shameless boasting. Yeah, it wasn't. There was no real reason for it other than just full on just boasting. Boasty about it, and there's a bit of boasty about his kids, but especially about his grandkids. And people do that, don't they? People boast, they're proud of their grandchildren. They're a crown of old men. But for us here, I hope for everyone here that your kids' job, your grandkids' school, football skills aren't going to be what you tell the neighbour about. Yeah? I hope not. Well, hopefully you won't be boasting at all to the neighbour, but knowing that your grandkids are saved.
Yeah,
amen. Yeah, wouldn't that be an amazing thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, knowing that your grandkids are saved, that they're serving the Lord. Knowing that they're not only saved, but they're serving the Lord, that they're doing something for God, yeah? That they've been raised to want to serve the Lord, that they have proper morals, yeah? That they're morally upright, that they're not only righteous in the eyes of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, but they also try and live righteously as well. That'd be good, wouldn't it? That's the sort of thing that we should want for our grandkids, surely, yeah? And then they could be a crown of us. But the opposite of that, raising some rebellious little brat, some foolish kid, and a knock-on effect to their children, is definitely not a crown, is it?
No.
Okay, that's not a crown. That's why in the same chapter here, where we are in Proverbs 17, verse 21, says, "He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy." If you raise a fool, it's sorrow, it's joy. Sorry, it's no joy, is it? It's sorrow, that means it's sadness. And if your child doesn't respect you, doesn't honour you, well, then they're a fool, aren't they?
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
They're a fool. Because they're not, oh, well, they're fine in every other way, they just don't respect me. Look, they're going to fail in many, many areas. If they don't honour and respect their father, we're talking about today, then they are going to be a fool. Proverbs 17:25 says, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. Hear that? Not just a grief to his father, but bitterness to her that bear him. That's to their mother. Now, mums, I hope you're listening to that. It's not just about the dads. It's not just about the dads. If you don't want a foolish son, you want to make sure that their dad is still on that pedestal. Yeah? If you don't want a foolish son, you want to make sure that you keep their dad on the pedestal as well, because it's not just about the effect on the dad. Go forward to chapter 23, because this is a big theme in the book of Proverbs. And for sake of time, I've only covered some of the verses which give this same truth. That yes, children are a great blessing. Yeah, no one doubts that. Children are a blessing. But if you mess it up, they can also be a great curse. Okay, they're a great blessing. But if you mess up, then they are a great curse. That's why raising your kids has to take it has to be one of the top priorities in your life, doesn't it? Well, turn to Proverbs 23. You've turned to Proverbs 23, haven't you? Look at verse 22 where it reads, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad. She that bare thee shall rejoice. So if you mums and dads out there want righteous, wise children, then you'd better make sure that they honour you both. Yeah? You better make sure they honour both of you. You're not there to point score. You're not there to compete with dad for who gets honoured more and whether it's fair or not. And look, I'll include that. If sadly you're in separated, divorced or anything else situation, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's like, oh, well, now gloves are off. It's time to completely discredit dad, or it's time to completely discredit mum. No, they need to honour both of you. They need to respect both of you. Now, obviously, when we see that commandment in the book of Exodus, that is talking to God's nation there. But and as we go forward and we see that basically repeated in the New Testament, it's talking about basically obey your parents in the Lord. Okay, so
yeah.
It's in the context of doing things God's way as well. So obviously if your father, your unsaved dad is telling you not to go to church, you should still go to church.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
If your unsaved parents or unsaved parent is telling you to do things, and that continues, that can be the same as we get older and older and older, that are against God, then you follow what God says. Yeah. Obey the higher power. But here it says that thy mother shall be glad. She that bare thee shall rejoice when they hearken unto the father that begat thee and despise not the mother when she is old. Now, obviously, today we're talking about the much maligned father, the irritation to the world, yeah, the butt of the jokes, the obstacle in the labour ward, yeah. And wives, you better make sure that you honour them. You better make sure that you put them up there on that pedestal, you keep on that pedestal. But sons and daughters here as well, yeah, sons and daughters here, and that's everyone here. I don't care how influenced you are, yeah? It doesn't matter. You can't listen to the beginning of this sermon and go, well, no, it's just, yeah, that's the way. It's just brainwashed, yeah? Can't help it. No, there's still no excuse, okay? There's still no excuse to disrespect your parents, okay? There is no excuse. God doesn't look at it lightly. He doesn't look down at it and go, well, they've been raised in the world a little bit, so it's okay. Well, turn to Proverbs 30. Well, I read Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20. Proverbs 20:20 reads, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Does he mean you're going to drop dead? God could do that, couldn't he? But perhaps he's saying that a serious sin like that is going to blind you. Yeah, it's going to blind you. It's going to put you in a dark place. Maybe that sin is going to hide his face from you so that he will not hear. Either way, he doesn't want you to curse your mother or your father. Yeah, there's a story, I think, back in Deuteronomy where a son is taken out and stoned outside the camp. And one of the things he did, yeah, they say he's a glutton and a winebibber, and that goes hand in hand with him basically cursing his father and his mother. Like, that is a big deal, yeah? If you kids here, any kids here, and also, look, let's include there, adults here as well, you curse your mother or your father, you are a disgrace, an absolute disgrace, yeah? And God makes that really clear. And I'm seeing more and more, and I'm not talking about in this church here, but I'm seeing more and more out in the world brats like this everywhere. Yeah. I see kids hitting their parents, talking down to their parents, calling them disgusting names. We have a kid who I take Jack away, does a bit of training, who literally just calls his dad all sorts, punches him. And now this, I'll be honest, the dad is a moron as well. Okay, but it's still no excuse. It's still no excuse, is it? I'm looking at this kid thinking, you wicked little brat. That. And then the dad instead is going up and trying to like tell the coach how they shouldn't tell off his kid. You know, just we're on it. But anyway, so Proverbs 30, Turner, and verse 11 says this: there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. How does a child hold their arrogant head up while cursing their father and mother? How do they do that? How do you hold your arrogant head up in the air and your nose in the air while you're cursing your father and mother? It's an absolute disgrace, isn't it? And it's a complete irony because you're completely out of God's will. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. And that's a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. And you don't want to be that generation, kids, here, okay? Look, you might be seeing it around you, but I hope that none of you here are sitting here thinking, yeah, well, yeah, but you don't know, you know. My mum said this, my dad said that. Now, that is wicked, yeah? It doesn't matter. Look, unless they're literally telling you to do something sinful, and even then, you don't curse them. All you do is you try and politely, respectfully show them what the Word of God says. But, look, jump forward to verse 17 there. It says, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. What do you think God thinks about it? He thinks, yeah, no, not so bad. No, he said that the eye that mocks his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. That means that bad things are going to happen to you, basically. Yeah? That means bad things are going to happen to you if you're cursing your parents. And right now, we're talking about fathers because the fathers seem to be getting a lot of cursing and a lot of disrespect right now everywhere I see it. And God hates that. God absolutely hates it. Now, the dads have to stay on that dad pedestal, okay? The dads have to stay on that dad pedestal. And that means all of us here have to help them with that. Well, it's not just for their sakes as we see, it's for the kids' sakes as well, yeah? Okay, kids don't respect their parents, well, they're not going to respect much. They're going to end up being just like all the other brats we see getting raised around here. So how do we do that? How do we do that, dads? Do we keep telling them stories of how great we are? Yeah? I don't think so, because basically you're just jacking up that pedestal with a jack that can't take the weight. I remember when my car jack was used by someone here who had a much heavier car, and we thought, oh, we'd give it a try anyway. They had a problem, they had a flat. And that car jack wasn't meant for that weight, and that car jack just folded in two. It's quite impressive to see, actually, as well. Well, that's what happens when you try and just jack yourself up with dishonesty, with made-up stories or anything else about yourself. Try and pick yourself up into something you're not. You're basically just putting a jack that's not going to... It's going to fold under that weight, under that big head, isn't it? So, first off, how do we do it then? Everyone here has to protect that pedestal, yeah? Everyone in this church has to protect that dad pedestal. That means start showing the dad some respect, yeah? Okay, everyone here should show dads respect. Kids here especially, we've talked about, you need to be showing your dad's respect. Amen. Okay, every child here needs to be showing your dad's respect. That means wives, yeah, you need to be showing your husband's respect. if you're not showing your husbands, and look, sadly, if the case is that it's an ex-husband as well, respect, how do you expect the kids to do the same? What do you expect? What, you're going to go, well, yeah, don't worry about what I do, but you need to do it. They're just going to copy what you do. Okay, so wives, you need to show the dads respect. Otherwise, you could think, well, yeah, but they need to know that dad's this, or they need to know that dad's that. Look, they're going to work out what dad is and dad isn't, yeah? They don't need you telling them, okay? Because otherwise, what you're going to end up with, you're going to end up with a foolish son, a foolish daughter. Okay, but also family, friends. Yeah, you need to protect that pedestal. You need to keep that dad on that pedestal. And again, I'm not saying by lifting him up with lies or anything else. You need to encourage respect of the fathers that you know. You need to encourage your kids to respect their dad. It doesn't matter. If you don't even like him, if you're maybe a mother here and you end up with a kid as you get older, a father here, you end up with someone who's married to someone that you start to dislike, still don't respect that father to their kids, yeah? Don't respect that father to their wives either. Yeah, you have to respect him. You have to keep them on that pedestal, because otherwise it's going to affect the kids. Okay, it's going to affect the kids ultimately. Okay, so what else do we have to do? Well, we have to keep that demolition team away as well, don't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that queue of people just waiting to destroy that pedestal, you've got to keep them away. How do you do that? That means those disrespectful friends and family, you need to point it out to them. Look, you can do it politely, but you need to show them, you need to explain to them the risk factors, what will happen if they carry on coming round and trying to knock dad and trying the old stupid jokes, taking the mickey out of dad. He's always the butt of the jokes. It's always, you know, oh, I bet dad does this or dad or anything else like that. You need to just tell him, look, I want my kids to respect their father. Yeah, I'd prefer it if you didn't do that. If you carry on having, especially those unsafe family and friends that just want to come around and just try and destroy your family setup, don't have them around.
Yeah.
If they can't do it, because it's that important.
Yeah.
It is that important. It's not, oh, well, yeah, but I don't want to be rude. Look, that's your kid's future.
Yeah.
That's your kid's future. If your kids are just having family members coming around, just little whispering, little just, sometimes it's quite subtle, isn't it? Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just blatant. Don't have them around. Those family and friends, you need to keep that demolition team away. The TV. Look, is there anything good on the TV?
No.
I don't see anything good on the TV. Why? Look. Oh, but you know, I love putting little Johnny in front of the TV. They just love that cartoon. Do you know what that cartoon is actually saying? Have you watched every episode that you're putting your kids in front of?
Right.
Is anyone here? Because if you are, you've got too much time on your hands. if you're sitting there watching kids' cartoons, you've got too much time on your hands. It's sitting there watching everything first, then you've got too much time. So don't shove them in front of something that you don't know what they're being taught, because a lot of it is subtle. A lot of it they won't see. A lot of it they will just see and still watch it because it makes them feel good. Because those flashing lights make them feel good, don't they? Because there's something about the TV, it appeals to the flesh and all the many other ways and all those shows. But there's so much that's being just zapped straight. And I know, oh, sounds a bit tinfoil hat, Brother Ian. Look, it's true. Yeah, the conditioning and brainwash from the TV is like nothing else. It's like nothing else. Okay, if you're just shoving your kids in front of the TV and going, well, you know, see what, it must be all right, it's Before the Watershed. Have you seen the stuff that's on Before the, oh, well, they don't swear. I don't care about the swearing, honestly. Yeah, if my kids hear a bit of swearing, that is the least of my worries. That is the least of my worries. It's the rest of it. It's the conditioning, it's the brainwash, it's just the constant attack on the dad, attack on the family. It's a constant trying to promote all these bizarre sexualities or whatever they even call, I don't know what they even call them now, identities, and just all of it. Just constant. And look, we don't want our kids looking at that rubbish, do we? We need to keep that demolition team away. And right now we're talking about keeping your dad on their pedestal.
Yeah.
And that TV will undermine them, the school will undermine them.
Yeah.
The child minders will undermine them. Everyone is looking to undermine dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta keep those people away. You gotta keep all of that away from your kids. But dad's here. You have to own it too. Okay? Dad's here. You have to be the dads that God wanted you to be. Because look, that pedestal is slippery enough. It's wobbly enough. It's being attacked from all angles. You need to make sure that you're standing there firm, you're standing there strong, you're standing there balanced. How do you do that? Well, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, this isn't necessarily the chapter that people turn to for parenting advice. And Paul's reminding the Thessalonians here how he and Silas behaved when they were out soul winning. And he uses basically parenting analogies. Why does he use parenting analogies? Because they were begetting them. They were basically begetting children, spiritual children with the gospel. Yeah? And when you get someone saved, that's what you're doing. They're getting reborn. And look, if you save someone, you do have, I believe, some responsibility to that person. Yeah. Okay? And you should try. And look, they're not always. Sometimes they're going to be a wayward kid and they don't want you anywhere near them. But you should at least try to disciple them. You should try to help them. You should try to guide them. You should try to strengthen them. Well, 1 Thessalonians 2 here, like I said, he's talking about how they behaved when they were soul winning. He says from verse 7, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us." That's how we should feel towards our physical children too, shouldn't we? Yeah, willing to impart our own souls. We should be putting them, you know, in a place of importance. Because sadly, again, that's something that we don't see as much of anymore either, do we? Now, verse 9 says, "For ye remember, brethren, our labour and travail, for labouring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preach unto you the gospel of God." Sometimes parenting is labouring night and day too, isn't it? Verse 10, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." And there's a great start there, isn't there, for dads? That's a great verse, isn't it? Behaving holily, justly and unblameably. Okay, look, you're not going to be sinless. But look, that pedestal is wobbly anyway. Do you want to just be up there just waiting to get to have those fiery darts just knock you straight down because you don't have on your shield of faith, your breastplate of righteousness? Look, that's a big part of it, dads, yeah? That's a big part of it. You have some responsibility there. If you're just full of, you know, all sorts of hypocrisy and wickedness and sin, and you're disrespecting those authorities in your life, you're just acting the fool and the rest of it, how do you expect your kids to respect you? Yeah, look, dads need to behave holily, justly, unblameably. But that stuff, I think, goes without saying. Proverbs 20, verse 7, you'd have to turn there, says, "A just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him." Okay, so we should be aspiring, and our goal should be just, and part of that is for our children to be blessed, yeah? Okay, if you care about your kids, make sure that you're living right. But I want to focus on three points in the next verse here that maybe we don't focus on so much as dads here. Verse 11 says, "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." So verse 11 gives three actions there that he's saying basically should be a given for fathers. Yeah, he didn't say as a father should do. He didn't say as some dads. He just said as a father doth his children. What are those three actions? Exhorting, which is encouraging, comforting, and charging. And that's not, you know, charging towards them with the cane. That's commanding them. Yeah. Okay. All three of these are needed, aren't they? Yeah, all three of these are needed, because sometimes people can just get a bit kind of maybe on the charging, the commanding bit, and forget about the encouraging and the comforting, the exhorting and the comforting. Others maybe are just, they're good at the exhorting part, but they're not so good at the commanding bit. Some are maybe good at comforting, you know, when times are bad, that's when they step up, but the rest of the time, they may be nowhere to be seen. Yeah, look, there's a combination there. And all three there, he says, "And ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." And as you know, the title of my sermon is Staying on That Dad Pedestal. And point number one is exhort your kids. Exhort your kids. And look, this isn't an exhaustive list here, but I think this is a list that maybe we need reminding of as well. Okay. So number one, exhort your list. That means encourage your kids. Because everyone needs encouragement in life, don't they?
Yeah.
And kids are no different, are they? Kids are no different. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. And while you turn there, I'm going to read Proverbs 22:15, which says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Yes, they need the rod of correction. We know that verse very well. We use that verse to explain to people why they need physical punishment. But they also need encouragement, because it must be pretty discouraging being so foolish. Yeah, it's the truth. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That can be discouraging, can't it? If all they're ever getting is punishment for their foolishness, I can imagine sometimes they might start to get a bit discouraged. Mm-hmm. Being a kid in this world, being a kid that does need chastisement. Yeah, and they do need chastisement. But that means maybe focus on their positives. Yeah, focus on kids' positives as well. And they all have positives. Yeah, we don't want to puff them up and make them arrogant children, but sometimes we can go too far the other way, can't we?
Yeah.
Focus on the kids' positives. Encourage them when they're going through their own trials and tribulations. And believe it or not, we might not consider those trials and tribulations anything compared with ours, but kids do go through some trials and tribulations. And we can be quick to mock, can't we, a trial or tribulation that a child goes through, and maybe be slow to encourage them when they're in it. Because we all need the encouragement, don't we? You turn to Colossians 3, verse 21 says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So if it's all chastisement and no reward, you're probably going to provoke them to anger. If it's all lectures and no positives, you'll probably provoke them to anger, won't you? And the parallel passage, you don't have to turn there, but in Ephesians 6:4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So that means that there's both nurture, which is nourishing, educating, and admonition, which is instruction and reproof. But the focus is it being of the Lord, isn't it? Yeah? It's the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we want to encourage them in the things of God as well. And we need to encourage them in the things of God, not just command and force and that's it. They need to be encouraged, shown the benefits of being a man of God, dads. Yeah? Show that positive of being, if you're coming home and constantly moaning about how hard it is being the single income dad, then I don't think you're going to be exalting them in the things of God. If you're constantly complaining about how hard it is to be soul winning and to be going to church and, oh, that, got to do a Wednesday evening as well now, you know, as a Sunday morning evening, well, are you really encouraging your kids? You're exhorting them in the things of God? They're going to grow up to want to do the same? No, we want to make sure we encourage them, and that's how we lead by example. But also encourage them when they go through their trials and tribulations, when they find it hard. Encourage them when they're finding it difficult to stay in the things of God themselves. Think, look, obviously we have parenting to do. Obviously sometimes, yeah, they need a firm hand, don't they? Yeah. But I bet if your brother or sister here came up to you and said, brother, whoever, I'm just been finding it hard this week to read my Bible, would you just start giving them an earful straight away? You just start rebuking them? You're probably trying to give them the encouragement, going, look, you know that, you know, when you're not in your Bible, it's going to quickly go downhill. You know that when you're not in the Word of God, you're going to quickly fall away. You're going to have trouble. Come on, you know how much better it is when you're in the Word of God every day. You give them that encouragement. But do we always do that with our kids? Often, right, punishment time. How dare you, little brat? Get back in your Bible. But sometimes they need some encouragement, don't they? They need some exhorting. They need that, don't they? And look, I think that that's something that we could do with just having on our minds, dads, as well, a lot of the time. Sometimes we can be that firmer hand and maybe not always that softer hand. Okay, so staying on that dad pedestal, number one was exhort your kids. Number two is comfort your kids. Comfort your kids. Yes, 1 Thessalonians 2:11 said, as a father doth his children. Yeah, hear that? All us manly, we like to think of ourselves as manly men there. Yeah, he said, as a father doth his children. Sometimes a dad needs to be comforting too. Yeah, doesn't he? Because our kids need comfort. They need comfort. And there's nothing queer about comforting your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing effeminate about comforting your kids. You know, the kind of classic dad sort of, kids just smashed his head open, get up, you fairy. Yeah, well, what's wrong with you? I'll give you something to cry about. How dare you? Well, but is that godlike? Is that how God behaves? Because is anyone here thinking there's something queer about God? Is there something queer about God? There definitely isn't something queer about God, is there? Yeah, God, the epitome of manliness. God, the Holy Spirit, whose name is the Comforter. Yeah, God's name is the Comforter. God comforts. God comforts his children. Turn to 2 Corinthians 1. Because without receiving comfort, then they're less likely to show comfort. And then we're raising problem children. And we're going to raise problem parents then as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 says, blessed be God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God comforts us in all our tribulation, and we're then able to comfort others in the same way. Kids go through tribulation, don't they? Yeah? And in their own worlds, their tribulation can feel like big tribulation, can't it? And they need comfort. They need to see that we care, and we should care, shouldn't we? We should care about our kids. Psalm 103 and verse 13, you have to turn there, says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. If we don't even pity our children, then we've got issues, haven't we? Yeah? The Lord pities his children. He talks about it as a given, like as a father pitieth his children. We should pity our children. That should be all our children as well, shouldn't it? Because sometimes there could be that kid that maybe just complains and moans a little bit more than the others. Sometimes there's that kid that doesn't seem to be as tough as other kids, but we should pity all of them, shouldn't we? Yeah, we should pity our children, plural. And the Lord pities them that fear him, his children. Yeah, and look, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing soft about that. You're not going to be raising these soft as whatever you want to call it kids because you're giving them comfort and because you pity them. Yeah, you don't have to wrap them in cotton wool either, obviously. Yeah, kids need to learn to be tough as well. But if we're never giving them comfort, we're just going to raise the same, aren't we? We're going to raise problem children that can't then pity and comfort others. So we need to make sure we do that, dads. We need to make sure that we don't just go too hard line and not enough love. Staying on that dad pedestal, number one, exhort your kids. Number two, comfort your kids. And number three, charge your kids. So charge your kids. And again, I'm not saying drop your head now and charge. Sometimes you need to drop your head and charge, yeah? But most of the time, I don't think you need to. It means instruct, doesn't it? It means to command, to instruct. Kids need instruction. They need rules. Yeah, they need rules. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Well, I read Proverbs 1:8, which says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So this child-led crap out there is just that. Okay, it's a load of old nonsense. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, it's a load of new nonsense, really. Yeah. This the kid knows best. Let the kid, you know, right. Child-led everything right. Is propaganda of the devil.
That's right.
Okay, yeah. It is ridiculous. It's completely the opposite to the Word of God. The Word of God says train a child up in the way he should go. He's not automatically born knowing the way he should go. He's not automatically, but oh, well, it's everything else which is just disrupting him. Otherwise, he would be fine. No, you left a baby alone, then that baby would die very quickly. Okay, you left a child alone, that child will die very quickly. Okay, kids need instruction. They need commands. They need commandments. It's complete nonsense. And do not let yourselves get poisoned by it out there. And again, you'll have the family and friends coming round talking about the latest child-led thing because of some pseudoscience they heard by some child psychologist telling you basically not to train your kids, not to punish your kids. It's nonsense.
Yeah.
Okay, it's nonsense. It's not what the Word of God says. Proverbs 6 and verse 20. Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Right, those commandments are for life, aren't they? Yeah, they're for life. You train them when they're young so that they succeed when they're older. That's how it works, yeah? We're training them up for adulthood. And there's one sure way to train them to obey the rules, yeah? To bind the commandments upon their hearts. It's through loving chastisement, okay? Loving chastisement. There has to be punishment. It said here that reproofs of instruction are the way of life. In verse 23, that's life, yeah? In the way of life, everywhere you go, there is punishment for not obeying rules and instructions and commandments, okay? Everywhere you go in life, you're training your kids for life. Yeah, it might not be the punishment that we think there should be, but there's punishment everywhere, isn't there? There's punishment, your government will punish you, you get punished nowadays if you just park in the wrong. You get punished if you dare to drive in the wrong place and forget to pay some extortionate money for doing it. You get punished in every area of life. There are repercussions for not following commandments, for not following rules. And look, you have to do that from young with your kids. You have to do that. It's absolute madness. It's folly to have tried to avoid doing that at home. You think you're going to somehow just sweet talk your kid to be well behaved. You think somehow if you just withhold rewards from your kid or something, that's not chastisement. That's not punishment. Turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Well, I read Proverbs 19, 18. Proverbs 19, 18 says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." Okay, it's not always pleasant, is it? It's not always pleasant, but it needs doing early while there is hope because it's a loving thing to do. Okay, it needs doing early. And look, if you're, "Oh, well, I just didn't do it early enough," well, you better start quickly then. Yeah, you better start quickly. "Chase thy son while there is hope." You don't want to get to a point where there's no more hope. "Let not thy soul spare for his crying." Look, it's not easy. It's not pleasant. Yeah, look, the majority of the time you don't enjoy punishing your kids. Sometimes the odd time when you do, yeah? Okay, let's be honest. But look, the majority of the time you don't enjoy punishing your kids. You punish them because you know it's a good thing for them. Yeah. It's a loving thing to do. To punish your kids. That's why in Proverbs 13, where you've turned to, it says in verse 24, Proverbs 13, 24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." That's early. That's in time. If you're not punishing your kids, and the Bible says that you hate them.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
I mean, hear that, you know, non-punishing world out there, who you're just too loving. "I just love them too much." I had a family member say this. "I just love them too much. I would find it too hard to smack their bottom." What is wrong with you? That's not love.
Right.
You love yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. You love your appearance to the rest of your friends and whoever's around you. You love to be able to say that.
Yeah.
You love the image that creates. But you don't love your kids if you won't punish them. You have to punish your children. And the rod there is talking about the rod of correction. Okay? That's talking about a physical chastisement. There's a great, great part of the body that was developed just for that. Yeah, it's got some great padding on it. It's also got some great nerve endings there as well. And that part of the body was made for punishment. It doesn't leave long-lasting damage. And look, just to make that clear, in case someone wants to look at this and cause trouble with it, no, we're not talking about what the world calls beating, okay? We're talking about measured, calm punishment, which shows a child that their behaviour is wrong, and then they're more likely to do the behaviour that's right, which makes for a well-behaved and a happy child. Yeah? Okay, that's what the Bible tells us to do. That's what God commands us to do, parents out here. If you're not, the Bible says that you hate them. Okay, if you can't just go, "Look, I'm going to have to, this is going to be tough." We might have a couple of wars at home. We might have a couple of issues here. The Bible says, if you will not punish them, you hate them. "He that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." And you have to turn to Proverbs 3:12 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." If you delight in your children, punish them. Yeah? Correct them. Give them commandments. Give them rules when they invariably break the rules, which they will, because everyone, unfortunately, will break rules. Punish them. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. And who are we copying here? The Lord. Is anyone saying that God's not loving? And look, kids here, if you're sitting here, and maybe there are kids here thinking, well, I don't really get punished too much. And look, again, that's down to your parents ultimately. I'm just telling you what the Bible says here. It's not my decision. But if you are, if you're sitting there and your parent comes away from this, your parents come away from this and think, yeah, we need some more punishment, you better take that punishment.
Yeah.
You better take that punishment, otherwise you are rebelling against God.
Yeah,
you're rebelling against God, kids, here, okay? You have to take that chastisement. And look, you ain't, if you're fighting, struggling, twisting, turning, saying whatever you can under your breath or something else to make it known that you didn't really take the punishment, you managed to say something back, you ain't taking the punishment. And if you're not taking the punishment, you're at odds, you're at enmity with God then, okay? Because you're basically saying, no, that person you've put in my life to be that authority in my life, I'm not having it. I'm not having it, God, tough. Yeah, good luck to you, you want to say that. And you know what, you might take a while to punish you. It might be that God's chastisement takes a while, but I would prefer a father's chastisement, a physical father's chastisement, to God's chastisement. All you kids out there. And it might be a little while. You might think, well, it hasn't come yet. I'm all right. I'm on easy street. Maybe he understands. No, you're going to get it. And it is just going to be an inbuilt punishment in life where you're just going to end up being a fool for your life. Yeah. So, yes, if you're charging them, if you're commanding them, there has to be chastisement too. Otherwise, you might as well not bother. Okay? If you're going to give commandments and then you're going to let them break them and there's going to be no repercussions, don't even bother with the commandments in the first place, because you're basically allowing yourself to be disrespected. You're knocking yourself off that pedestal, dads. Yeah? And mums, but we're talking about dads here. Okay? It's not just the dads. And by the way, it's not just the dad's job either, mums out there. Okay? You need to be punishing as well. Otherwise, dad becomes just Mr. Punisher. He becomes the Punisher. And then the Punisher's not always that popular, is he? Okay? And we want to keep him on the pedestal from different angles as well, because there's going to be angles they try and knock him off, yeah? Okay, but dads, you do need to punish, you do need to chastise. And a good tip that I would say is, after you do that, give him a cuddle. Yeah? Tell him you love him.
Yeah?
Yeah? Because, look, they need to understand it's for their own good. Yeah. And it is for their own good, isn't it?
Yeah?
Good. Okay, so staying on that dad pedestal, we had number one, exhort your kids. Number two, comfort your kids. Number three, charge your kids. Now, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verses 11 to 12, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. More important than pleasing our kids, more important than not having foolish children, wayward grandchildren, all the shame and sorrow that goes with it, is raising kids that will walk worthy of God. Isn't it? That's what we want to be doing. Walking kids that would walk worthy of God who has called you and your future generations to his kingdom and glory. Because if we do things right, then your sons and sons and sons, as the Bible would call it, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, if you do things right and they do things right and they do things right, it's going to be a load of saved, whatever your surnames are, up in heaven. Yeah? And that's a great thing, isn't it? Yeah. And, tribulation's coming, Brother Ian, too late. Do you know that for sure, though? Do you know that for sure? I don't know that for sure. Look, what I do know is that God says that we want to command our children after us. We want them to walk worthy of God. Yeah. And of course, he's talking here to a saved church, but he's talking to his spiritual children. And look, we want our kids to be both physical and our spiritual children as well. We want our grandkids and great-grandkids to be the same. Right, so dad's here, I would say, turn to Genesis 18, actually, to finish off here. Dad's here should want God to look down. They should want God to look down and say this about them. And one of the reasons that God chose Abraham, look at Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, is for this reason. God said in Genesis 18, 19, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Now, there were some failures further down the line, but he knew that Abraham would command his children and his household after him. And you want God to look down and say, I know that brother whoever will command his children and his household after him. That's what we should all want as dad, shouldn't we?
Yeah,
God to go, I know that he will command his children, his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Yeah, because our commandments ultimately should be in line with God, and our commandments should be God's commandments, really, shouldn't they?
Right.
Yeah, and there's going to be things that apply for our particular household, but our commandments should be all in the Lord. And that means that they hopefully will be keeping the way of the Lord. And there'll be some chastisement to get there. There's going to be sometimes some battles to get there. There's going to be harder times, and different kids will have different things that they need dealing with at different times. But what you want is at the end of that, you want to have your kids, when they become adults, to be able to turn around and say, yeah, I'm keeping the way of the Lord. I'm saved. I want to serve God. I want to keep his commandments. And that's our goal, isn't it? Yeah, isn't every dad here, that's your goal? I hope it's your goal. I hope every mum here, that's your goal. And if it's your goals here, parents, to do that, and kids as you grow up to be parents, then you need to keep dad on that pedestal, don't you? Yeah, you need to keep the dad on his pedestal. And on that, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all your... You know, the many just practical bits of advice you give us, especially in the book of Proverbs. And please help us to just keep these, you know, those Proverbs that I read today on our hearts, especially Proverbs 17:6 there, and just keep that where it's such an attack right now. It's, you know, the attack on dads, the attack on the authority in the home, the attack on a leading husband, on a leading father is so big right now. It's such a problem in our world. Help us to defend against those attacks. Help us to defend the dads against those attacks. Help all of those here to want to just keep that dad up there in a place of honor, a place of respect. And we ask you to just help everyone here with that. Help us all to support each other with that as well. We pray that you just bless all the dads here today. Help them to, you know, enjoy being a dad, especially today, just knowing that they are respected, that we do have honor for them, that you give them glory as well as what their kids should be giving them. And that as dads, we want to go out and lead the example this afternoon and go and preach the gospel to those around this town, and help us to get many people saved, and help us to return for this evening service as well. And in Jesus' name we pray all of this. Amen.